the second Peter book that we've been looking at, and we're now into chapter 3. We could go a little longer on the second chapter there, but I think we've spoken about plenty of the false teachers that are coming, and I want to get on into chapter 3 today. We'll look at the first 10 verses here. This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this first of all, that the scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own desires. They will say, "This is where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that it was deluged rather with water and perished. But it goes on and says, but that same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but as he is patient with you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." Peter is going on in this this final chapter here, the third chapter of the book, to go on and talk a little bit about what the effect is going to be when Jesus actually comes again. We've talked about the counterfeit preachers and their teachers in chapter 2. And now we're turning to the second coming of Christ and the end of the world. You notice that the word sincere occurs there in the first couple of verses of chapter 3. And the English word sincere is a very significant word. It actually means, it comes from a Latin word. The word is sincera, and it means without wax. That's what people used to do when they had their pottery, and they were involved in working with the clay and everything. And sometimes, while they were working on this, they might find a crack in the work that they were doing. And so what they would do, they would try to go over it and put wax in it. And then eventually, when they painted the particular thing that they had worked on, they found that there was now everything looked good until you held it up to the sun. If you held it up to the sun, the pottery was sun-judged. The sun would show whether there was a crack in it or not. Otherwise, it would look perfectly normal. Everything was good. But the sun revealed it. And the same thing is true when the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are all, in a certain sense, going to be sun-judged, although it's not going to be the earthly sun that we know about. But we're going to be judged by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is going to come again, and he will definitely examine our lives, and we will know at that point who we are and what we are, and it's going to be very plainly indicated, because it might be hidden to many people today outwardly, but when Jesus Christ examines our life, he's going to see us for what we really are. And so the only way to go about this is just to remember that we need to get in mind clearly here who God is. And the first thing I want to just mention today is the fact that God and his word are a true word. They are something that are dependable. New converts to Christ need to be taught the foundations of the Christian faith. Everybody needs that, of course, but especially new converts. But many times, they are the ones that the apostate teachers single out and try to use as a target to to begin to teach false things to them. But the important thing is that we are expected to be growing in our foundations of the faith. And while I don't make a test of fellowship now about this or anything like that, I believe that God's people are one day going to be taken by Him back to heaven itself. If they know the Lord, they're going to be, one day Jesus is going to come again. We don't know when. That is not true with the actual second coming of Christ. Once the rapture of the church has occurred, we know that 7 years later, the Bible tells us that Christ is going to come back following the tribulation time. That is spelled out, and that's a very important thing. But the actual rapture is going to be something that will surprise us. We don't know when. In fact, it might be at a time similar to our own, where many people are thinking, well, you know, Jesus Christ is never going to come back. It doesn't matter anymore how we live. We're just going to live the way that we want to. And yet, He is going to come back. But we have to be careful when we read the Bible. We have to distinguish between the days that are talked about in Scripture. There are at least three of them that are talked about in the Word of God. And the first one is the actual day of Christ. It's talked about in 1 Corinthians 1 and Philippians 1 and 2 also. And we often refer to that as simply the rapture. That is the day of Jesus Christ, when Christ comes back and gathers His church to be with Him and takes them home to heaven. That is the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us about another day, though, and that's the one here that Peter has been talking about. It's the day of the Lord. Now, this is something that is actually talked about in the Old Testament and in the New. We don't have to go just to the book of Revelation to find out about the day of the Lord. We know that that day is coming, and we know what it's going to be. The Bible tells us that the day of the Lord is going to be a time of judgment, when God is going to come to the earth, and that He will sit down, and that there is going to be a time of judgment that will occur. The tribulation time starts this day of the Lord that is coming, when God begins to pour out His wrath too upon the earth. But then when Christ returns, He sets up His kingdom, and all of this is part of this. When we think about the day of the Lord, we're really thinking about the tribulation period and also the kingdom that is to follow that. And this is all yet taking place before Jesus actually comes to bring in what is the third day in the Bible, and that is called the Day of God. And we also learn about that in Peter too. He talks about the Day of the Lord, or the Day of God rather, not the Day of the Lord, but the Day of God. And it's very clear that when we look at this here, that though there are many places in Scripture that talk about the day of the Lord, the time of Jacob's trouble, the time of tribulation, talked about in the book of Daniel, the book of Jeremiah, Isaiah, Amos, the book of Zephaniah, I think one of the passages of Scripture that convinced me the most about the day of the Lord was something that was spelled out very plainly in Zechariah 12:14. I noticed that many people who write books about the second coming of Christ especially don't talk about that 14th chapter, because it's just crystal clear. Christ is going to come back to the earth, and He is going to rule and reign, and people are going to come up to Jerusalem to worship Him there. Now, that has never happened in, you know, this present world that we are living in, but He's going to come from heaven. He's going to come down on the Mount of Olives, and people will come, and they will acknowledge His greatness during this day of the Lord. But then at last, after the kingdom has run its course, and Christ has given one final time yet in which people who don't know the Lord can still come, it's not something to be taken lightly, because even though God has repeatedly given lots of time in the history of the world to have people come to Him, yet people do not sometimes take that invitation, and as a result, they find that in one way or another, they are going to come under a time of judgment. We'll talk about that here in just a moment here. But when the Lord comes at the day of the Lord, He's going to do something He's never done before, and that is He's going to create a new heaven and new earth. The old world that we live in now is going to be destroyed, but this time it's not going to be a flood. It's going to be destroyed, the Bible says, by fire. And after it is destroyed by fire, heaven and earth are going to be joined together. The Bible talks in Revelation about how heaven itself is going to come down and come to the earth. And yet there will be a new heaven and a new earth. I was reminded of this again this past week when we were over at Ralph and Denise's the other day. I talked with someone who came there to pay a visit on them, who was a Jehovah's Witness. And he wanted to tell me all about one thing. He wanted to tell me how one day we could dwell on the renewed earth. And I said, what are you thinking about? He said, well, it's going to be just like what we had in creation. Adam and Eve had a perfect world, and the same world that was then is going to be, and back in the Old Testament times, that same day is going to come back again. We're going to have a renewed earth. I said, not interested. The lady that was there said to me, you're not interested in a renewed earth? I said, no. I said, I have something better. Well, what do you mean you have something better? Well, the Bible tells me that we're going to have a renewed heaven and a new earth. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that most people who are have any kind of salvation experience, they are going to be here on the earth. Only 144,000 are going to make it into heaven, they think. Although it's interesting, if you read that, the 144,000 that are talked about are all from one nation, Israel. 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. And they don't believe that they're one of them. So whenever I talk with somebody like this, I always start off with that one question. I say, if you were to die today, would you be in heaven with God? And you know what? They back off of there at that point every time because they don't know. No, they really know. Nobody knows. I asked one time, are you going to go on year after year telling people all about this, and yet you can't even tell me at this point that if you were to die that you'd be in heaven with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ? You really don't believe that? Well, nobody can really know that. Well, yes, we can, because the Bible says that God is going to destroy this world and he's going to bring in a new heaven and a new earth. That is called, and you can look this up too. It's in the section that we read here this morning in 2 Peter chapter 3, a little further on, starting in verse 12 there. He talks about the day of the Lord coming by fire and how God is going to bring in something totally new. The first creation was new, but now we've become very accustomed to the present world because the old creation continues on. And now, of course, the old creation has become a world of sin. But the new heaven and the new earth, the day of God that is coming, is going to be free of sin. Can you imagine that? Nobody's going to get sick there. Nobody's going to have any kind of disease there. Nobody's going to be a part of that world. We're going to be a part of a new heaven and the new earth where God himself is. We're going to be with Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am coming again and I will receive you to myself. That where I am, where is he? He's in heaven now. He says that where I am, there you may be also. We're not going to be on a renewed earth, folks. We're going to be on the new heaven and new earth. That's something that's never been before, and it's going to be the most beautiful thing imaginable. Well, God's word is true. It tells us this in the Old and in the New Testament. And Peter knew that, and he was emphatic about it. But you know, there's something else we need to remember. God is also constant. That is, he is faithful. Up to a point, he is constant. But every now and then, God changes things too. For example, how many things have gone on the same day, or the same way, rather, I should say, the way they have in the past? You know, seed time, harvest, follows one year after another. The seasons are all part of it. They just keep on going. God is very constant. And yet, when you read the Bible, even though God is constant, there are times when, finally, God stops his consistent approach to things and he changes something. I was thinking about this the other day, when I was preparing this message, and Stop and think of some of the things that were the same for many, many, many years, and yet one day God changed them. Think about Noah and the flood. 120 plus years, you know, God is bringing a message to the people through Noah, telling them that Christ is coming back. Day after day, it was the same thing. But one day it happened. When the people were in the ark and the door was all shut to the ark, God began his time of judgment. It happened just the way he said. We know the story in the Bible, the Old Testament too, about Joshua and the walls of Jericho. Joshua walked around those walls with the people 7 times. And 6 of the times he walked around it but once each day. Why did God do that just once each day? Because it seems like Peter is being reaffirmed here again. God is sincere, God is faithful, God is merciful. He wants people to be saved. And he went around the walls of Jericho 6 different days giving people a chance to know that judgment was coming and that they could still turn to him. And as a result, they didn't. And you know that on the 7th day, they went around 7 times and that was it. God brought judgment on the whole city. The same thing is also true in the story of Jonah. A little different fashion, actually. Here God comes through Jonah, and finally Jonah gets out there to Nineveh, and he tells the people there, God says in 40 days, I'm going to come, and I'm going to destroy your city. Now, he said that same message for 40 days, continued thing. And yet, even though he said it, what happened? The people heard the voice of the prophet. Even the king decided that they better do something about it. They better repent of their sins. And when they did, God looked down from heaven and said, I'm not going to bring that 40-day judgment that was talked about here by Jonah. I'm going to bring a time of blessing again. And he did for several years. If you look into history, you find out, I believe, that it was at least 100 years or thereabouts, how long God actually waited after the initial warning by Jonah the prophet. Now, the same thing is also true when it comes to the situation here that Peter is writing about. Peter says, the Lord's going to come back. It's going on everything very constantly right now the same way since the creation, but it's going to change someday. I'm going to change the deal. I'm going to bring in a new heaven and a new earth. I'm going to bring in eternity. People don't think much about that, you know. When I was teaching over at Kalamazoo Valley, it seemed that most of the young people that were attending the Bible classes that I taught, a lot of them were just interested in what was going to happen on Friday night. They were just thinking about the things that they always did or where they always went. But you know what? Thinking about the fact that one day eternity was going to come. This is something that it was hard for people to, you know, begin to take seriously. And yet the Bible tells us very plainly that this is going to happen. God will bring a time of destruction. Now here's something that is maybe a surprise to some of you too. This destruction is already here in one way. It's already stored up in all the elements that God has created. The one commentary here says that there is in the elements that made up the world, they're all stored with energy right now. And whenever God decides to press the button, they can burst into flame because of the fact that God is ready to do this. You know, it's hard to believe that there's so much energy like that around. But as I was reminded too, there is enough atomic energy right now available in one little glass of water to drive an entire ship, an ocean liner, day by day. How in the world can you get that much energy out of a cup of water? Because that's the way God made the universe. All of the universe is ready to go up when God calls the time. But right now, God is patient. God is merciful. And because of that, he is giving people an opportunity to come. God is not willing that any should perish. I know that in the end, not all will be saved. I do not believe that everyone who has an opportunity to come is going to come. But nonetheless, the fact remains, the opportunity is now there. But those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are the ones that God will bring finally to salvation. It's all of grace, not because of anything they've done. It's not because they're better than everybody else. It's just because of the fact that God in grace has been extending his provisions mercifully to people year after year after year, and it's been going on for many years, but one day it's all over with. One day, Jesus Christ is going to come again, and we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. And people will not escape that day. The future of eternity with the eternal destruction we're talking about here is something that's not only told in the scriptures, but we know that it was first prepared for the devil and his angels. But the Bible says that anybody who doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is going to share the destiny of Satan and his angels. That's going to happen someday because the judgment of God is certain and we can depend on it. So, you know, we have a hard time imagining this, that God could come in mercy and do something like that. And yet, you see, we need to always remember in the Bible that God is merciful, but that God is also just. God is also holy. God is going to always keep his word, and one day everything he says will happen. People say, well, I haven't seen that now. I mean, I've been living for, you know, 60, 70, 80 years. I haven't seen anything like that happen. Well, we've seen little excerpts of judgment. Some people think the rain and the problems in the weather these days are indicators that God is doing some things here on the earth, trying to wake us up. But the full time of judgment is still definitely coming, and it will come. How do I know that? Because God said it. I make no apology for that. If God said it, I believe it. Everything that God says always comes true. You can't emphasize that enough. God doesn't say one thing and do another. If God says, I'm going to destroy you, he's going to do it. If God says, in mercy, I will save you if you repent, like he did with Nineveh, he'll do it. But whatever he tells you, his word is always, always, always true. And so, the works of man one day are going to be destroyed, but not the works of God. You know, throughout this world, we have a lot of beautiful things. I was looking at some pictures last night. My two daughters have the same birthday. They're in October. And Lisa came down to Chicago to visit Linda, and they spent a little birthday time there together. And, of course, Lisa wanted to show her the wonderful town of Chicago. So, I'm sorry, yes, we'll turn that around. Linda showed Lisa the beautiful city of Chicago, but, you know, all these beautiful things, you know, sculptures and beautiful architecture and all this stuff that's out there. How did it all get here? Well, it was all the activities of man, but it was also the working of God allowing us to do that. But you understand, a lot of people today don't even believe that God created the world. They say, how could that be? We don't believe anything like that. Do you actually think that this building here that we're sitting in right now just happened? It just came by itself? Do you think there was actually a maker of this building? We know there was, and we know who it was. And, you know, it's that same way with all of life. There's makers all over the place. Everything that people have, their homes, their car, somebody had to make that. There was someone who planned it and prepared it. But that is nothing in comparison to what God did. He made the entire world, all of it. And one day, that world is going to be finally going to be dealt with. Why is that? Because this world is not perfect anymore. Even though it's a beautiful world, it's a very important world. We couldn't live without all the things that are part of our world. But yet, if God didn't work and one day bring judgment, he would be unfaithful even to his own promises. And God is not unfaithful. He always says what he's going to do. And that's the good thing. You know, how many people in the world do you know that when they say it, they're going to do it? Some people, you look at them and you say, well, I can depend on them. I've dealt with business with them before. And every time they tell me that they're going to be there at a certain time or they're going to do a certain job or whatever, I can depend on it because they're always faithful. Well, that's man. If you think that man occasionally gets quite faithful, how about God? You know, God is merciful and he is also constant. What he tells you, he's going to do. And one day he says that all the works of man, all the great sculptures, all the great cathedrals, all the great things that are part of this world are going to be burned up by fire. You say, oh, that could never happen. People said that the whole world could never be covered by a whole flood either. But more and more, geologists tell us that there is evidence in our world today that there was, in fact, a worldwide flood. How could it happen? Well, the Bible tells us God poured down water from above. He poured down water from up, from the fountains of the deep broke forth also. People tell us beneath the seas, there are even indications of this very fact that God helped to bring the water upon the world. It all happened just the way he said. Now we've even built an ark here in our country that you can go down and see the ark that was a resemblance of what Noah was like living in that ark for many years. But finally, God brought judgment. When the day came, that's important to remember, when the day of the Lord came that day and God brought forth his judgment, when the door was shut, that was it. Nobody turned then at that point. Nobody is going to be saved in that time. When the door is closed and this world has been judged, this world is going to be over with as the way that we know it. But you can live into something far better. That's what I tried to tell these people too. I tried, especially with the young lady there. I said, just think, you could live in a world someday that's far better than this one. Better than this and even its renewed condition as you think. It could be beautiful. It could be wonderful. How do we know that? Well, because God has promised it. God is never wrong. He always keeps his promises. And so the big question is really this. If we know that God is true, and we know that God is constant, and we know that God is going to fulfill every word that he says, what can we also know for sure? We can know that he's going to bring judgment upon the earth, but we also know that for those who have trusted in Christ, no matter how imperfectly they have been, no matter what their past has been, that through Jesus Christ, they can find mercy. That's our hope, folks. That's the blessing that we have looking for us. It's not because we're so good or because we're so perfect or because we can stand up and say, oh man, I go to Faith Chapel and that's plenty good right there. Well, it's wonderful that you go there or some other place, but you know, the thing is, in reality, the only thing that can save us is Jesus Christ. He's the only way. It's only in him is the mercy of God found to us. So when the destruction occurs of man's work, the great work that God has been planning from eternity is going to come into full realization. We see what we call nowadays a progressive revelation. We see God continuing to show more of his plan all the time as time goes on. But we also see that one day God's revelation is going to come to a full realization, and it's going to be here. And there won't be any question that God will bring it. I know it. The thing is, you have to ask yourself this question. Will I be there? Will I be in heaven with God? Not am I good enough? Not what has my life been, but what Jesus has done for me, and I have received him into my heart and into my life because I know that everything that is being taught contrary to this out there is false. It's false teaching. It's teaching that is not true. And I have an entire Bible here that shows that God is one who keeps his word because every time he says something, he brings it to pass. It doesn't always happen quick. Sometimes it happens very quick. But whatever the case, God is going to do what he says. And he'll do that too with the future. Second coming of Christ and the new world that is coming. Not the new world order that we heard so much talk about in the last few years. But a new world that God will bring in. A new heaven, a new earth. That is coming. We know that. Because God said it. And the work of God is never something that fails to be accomplished. It is always accomplished. His word is the thing that declares it and also brings it about in the first place. How did the first world ever get created? It was by God's own word. The Bible says here that God spoke. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. In the beginning, God said, God said, God said, God said. His word is not false. What happened when he spoke? The world came into existence, whatever he had talked about. And the same thing is true when it comes to judgment. Someday when God says, it is time, now is the time of the full realization of my salvation, but also of my judgment. The Bible tells us what that's going to be like. And we know that it's true because the Bible says so. We just have to start realizing who God is. That God is so faithful, God is so constant and so dependable that we don't have to doubt him ever. And so I ask you again this question, you know, what are you going to do when God comes that time? Might be today, might be tomorrow, it might be years and years away from now. But the point is, at one time or another, we're all going to stand before him because he said so. And we know that when that happens, he's going to look at our life and determine our destiny. The Bible tells us that all those who are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, what will happen to them? They'll be lost. There's no question. It's not like, well, I'm going to try to talk God into a deal, you know. It's going to be the real deal. No fake stuff here. He's going to tell you exactly the way it is. And the same thing is true with all those who believe in him. If you want proof, all you have to do is look at that thief on the cross there. Two people had the same chance, the same opportunity. They both could have come to the Lord. One mocked him. The other one started out mocking him, but the more he thought about it, the more he realized that this man was telling the truth. When he said, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, you'll be there. It was just that certain. That's what Jesus can do too. Just the word from the Lord Jesus Christ is enough to save us. No matter how far removed from, you know, living for him as you may have been. He's going to, like we said earlier this morning, we're going to be son judged by the Son of God himself. He's going to look at us and he'll know who belongs to him and who doesn't. Where will you be at that point? That's the question. And I would say this, that if you don't know for sure, make your decision now. We have no guarantee of what tomorrow will be. We have no guarantee of what's going to happen to us. You know, man, just a year ago I thought, hey, I'm going to spend the rest of my vacation. And boy, all of a sudden things start happening, you know. We went through this stroke and all that stuff. Who knew that? I wasn't prophetically wise to be able to predict all that was going to happen, but the fact is, God knew it was going to happen, and he also knew what he was going to do about it. And he said, you know, basically, I'm going to keep you around for a while yet. Too bad for you, but good news for me, you know. You got to put up with me. But anyway, I would say that the decision time is now, though, before it is too late. And I'll tell you something, there would be nothing happier if every one of you would all be there. I would like it so much that someday when heaven is finalized and we are there with Jesus, and we are with the Lamb, and he welcomes us into his kingdom. What a wonderful thing to be able to see all the people that we have known and loved who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're all going to be there. How do we know? God said it. God never backs down on the deal. And he won't back down on the deal with you either. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray to God now. Lord, we're thankful that you are a great and mighty Savior. And we are thankful that in spite of the fact that we are sinners, yet we are saved by grace, that your Son has come and made all of this possible for us. Lord, we thank you, and we want to tell others about it too. Help us to be faithful in sharing the good news of the gospel with others as we have opportunity. Now, Lord, we pray that you'll bless us through the coming week that is before us, and whether it be today or many years from now, we pray that we will all be ready, one by one, to come into your fellowship and to spend an eternity with you. That will never change. It will never end. It'll keep on going. And we pray this now that it will be true for all of us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.